Okay, so we begin with a word of prayer.
Our Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask that you be gracious to each and every one of us. Open our eye that we can see, our ear that we can hear. And we want to learn from you and how to be prosperous and successful in your sight. And I pray that you speak to each and every one of us. And so that whatever we do, we be prosperous and successful. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. So if you take a look at the Genesis chapter 37, the last verse, 36. Genesis chapter 37, 36. Meanwhile, the Midianite sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. And then you turn to Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. Now Joseph has been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelite who has taken him there. In other words, at the end of Genesis chapter 37, verse 36, is supposed to connect it to Genesis 39, verse 1, right? And in between, Moses added Genesis 38. So the reason why Moses at the chapter 38, he got nothing to do with the life of Joseph. And yet, teach us a very important lesson. The reason why God did not use Judah is the fourth son of Jacob. And if you compare Genesis 38 and 39, if you look at it together, then you see the reason why Moses, the author, why he insert Genesis chapter 38 in between 37 and 39. And just comparing the life of Judah and the life of Joseph, one who commit adultery and one who remain to be holy. And that's the reason why God chose Joseph, the 11 sons of Jacob, instead of the fourth son, Judah, to be the redeemer of his own kinsmen, of his own brother and sister. So brother and sister, if you want to be used by God, and you have to live a holy life. You have to live a life that is pleasing in His sight. So, Etta, could you just take a look at it? And Judah yield to the temptation of sins, but Joseph overcome the temptation. Why? Because he said, how can I do such a wicked things and sins against God? And yet, Judah did not see it this way. Judah just want to please his own flesh. He just like what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, verse 6. The mind of sinful man is dead, and the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God, and it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled, not by sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, and yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through His Spirit who lives in you. So take a look at the two different life. One is his mind. Judah's mind is controlled by his sinful nature, and Joseph's mind was controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that's two different outcomes. And one was used by God, one was rejected by God. Ethel, could you read that? Genesis chapter 38. Read it slowly and so that we pay attention to what we hear.
At that time, Judah left his brothers and went down to stay with a man of Adullam named Hira. There Judah met the daughter of a Canaanite man named Shua. He married her and lay with her. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son, who was named Ur. She conceived again and gave birth to a son and named him Onan. She gave birth to still another son, and she named him Shelah.
So Judah has three sons, right? Ur, Onan, and Shelah.
It was at Kezib that she gave birth to him. Judah got a wife for Ur, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Ur, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord put him to death. Then Judah said to Onan, "Fly with your brother's wife and fulfill your duty to her as a brother-in-law to produce offspring for your brother." But Onan knew that the offspring would not be his, so whenever he lay with his brother's wife, he spilled his semen on the ground to keep from producing offspring for his brother. What he did was wicked in the Lord's sight, so he put him to death also.
So the first son, Ur, was wicked in God's sight, and the second son also wicked in God's sight. The Lord put him to death.
Judah then said to his daughter-in-law, Tamar, "Live as a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah grows up." For he thought, "He may die too, just like his brothers." So Tamar went to live in her father's house. After a long time...
So in other words, Judah's lying to his daughter-in-law, Tamar, right? Because he has no intention to give his third son to Tamar. You know, Jews has a custom. If the firstborn son get married and he die without having any children, his younger brother supposed to marry the widow and to lay with her and to give birth to a son. The firstborn son belongs to his brother. Oh, his younger brother know that. He say, "I don't like that." And so he did the wicked things in God's sight. God put him to death. Okay, now the Judah, his father, he's scared. You know, the first two sons was dead already, and now he's afraid the third son is dead too. So you know, but he lied to his daughter-in-law, saying that ask her to live as a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah grows up. He just lied. He has no intention to do that, for he thought he may die too, just as his brother. So Tamar believed in her father-in-law and went to live in her father's house as a widow and wait for the growing up of his third son to take up the responsibility to bear a child in their family. Verse 12.
After a long time, Judah's wife wife, the daughter of Shua, died. When Judah had recovered from his grief, he went up to Timnah, to the men who were shearing his sheep, and his friend Hira the Adullamite went with him. When Tamar was told, "Your father-in-law is on his way to Timnah to shear his sheep," she took off her widow's clothes, covered herself with a veil to disguise herself, and then sat down at the entrance to Enaim, which is on the road to Timnah. For she saw that, though Shelah had now grown up, she had not been given to him as his wife.
So she listened to her father-in-law advice and lived as a widow in her father's house and waiting for the growing up of the third son. But Judah has no intention to give him to her. Okay? And so she's going to do something about that. Verse 15.
When Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face. Not realizing that she was his daughter-in-law, he went over to her by the roadside and said, "Come now, let me sleep with you."
So he went over to her, thinking that she was a prostitute, and saying to her, "Come now, let us sleep with you. Let me sleep with you.
And what will you give me to sleep with you?" she asked. "I'll send you a young goat from my flock," he said. "Will you give me something as a pledge until you send it?" she said. He said, "What pledge should I give you?" "Your seal and its cord, and the staff in your hand," she answered. So he gave them to her and slept with her, and she became pregnant by him. After she left, she took off her veil and put on her widow's clothes again. Meanwhile, Judah sent the young goat by his friend, the Adullamite, in order to get his pledge back from the woman, but he did not find her. He asked the men who lived there, "Where is the shrine prostitute who was beside the road at Enaim?" "There hasn't been any shrine prostitute here," they said. So he went back to Judah and said, "I didn't find her. Besides, the men who lived there said, there hasn't been any shrine prostitute here." Then Judah said, "Let her keep what she has, or we will become a laughingstock. After all, I did send her this young goat, but you didn't find her." About 3 months later, Judah was told, "Your daughter-in-law Tamar is guilty of prostitution, and as a result, she is now pregnant." Judah said, "Bring her out and have her burned to death."
You see? Now, what did Judah say? When Judah heard that his daughter-in-law, Tamar, is guilty of prostitution, isn't he himself guilty of prostitution too? On his way to that small town, to the person, to the people that who sheared the, sheared the sheep for him, right? And Tamar covered herself up and wait for his father-in-law. And his father-in-law thinking that she was a prostitute and speak to her saying that, "Come now, let me sleep with you." And whereas in here, he tried to judge his daughter-in-law and saying that she is guilty of prostitution. And as a result of that prostitution, she now become pregnant. And Judah say, "Bring her out and have her burned to death." Verse 25.
As she was being brought out, she sent a message to her father-in-law. "I am pregnant by the man who owns these," she said. And she added, "See if you recognize whose seal and cord and staff these are." Judah recognized them and said, "She is more righteous than I, since I wouldn't give her my son Shelah, and he did not sleep with her again." When the time came for
I want to stop here, in here. And Judah recognized the pledge, the seal, the cord, and the staff. It belongs to him. Okay? And he is the one who caused this woman to be pregnant. And then Judah said, his daughter-in-law is more righteous than he is. He just says, "Since I will not give her to my son, Shelah. It's more than that. She's more righteous because Judah is coming to her thinking that she's a prostitute, right? So, what do we learn in this lesson? Every time when we try to judge the other people, you have to see within yourself, are you righteous in that aspect? Okay? Otherwise, you're going to judge yourself. Judah confessed his sin and saying that she's more righteous than I, since I will not give her to my son Shelah. Because Judah lied to her, Judah also committed adultery. And let's take a look at the Ten. At that time, there's no Ten Commandment because Ten Commandment was written is written by God passed on to Moses in Exodus. So let's turn to Exodus chapter 20. Take a look at the Ten Commandment. Take a look and see what kind of sins that Judah has committed. First of all, Judah, in verse 24, want to kill her. Because bring her out and have her burned to death. Verse 13, the Bible say, you shall not murder. Verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. And Judah commit adultery. And then, verse 16, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. So he give false testimony, saying that I will give my younger son to you. Wait until he grow up, but he has no intention to it. He lied. Okay? So out of the Ten Commandments, Judah committed three, right? He tried to murder her and commit adultery and give false testimony. And so that's why Judah say, you are more righteous than I am. And he realized that is his daughter-in-law. He did not sleep with her again. That's the righteous thing to do. Verse 27.
When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. As she was giving birth, one of them put out his hand, so the midwife took a scarlet thread and tied it on his wrist and said, this one came out first. But when he drew back his hand, his brother came out, and she said, so this is how you have broken out. And he was named Perez. Then his brother, who had a scarlet thread on his wrist, came out, and he was given the name Zerah.
Okay, I want you to turn to Matthew, the first book of New Testament. Matthew, chapter 1. Take a look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Genealogy of Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verse 3. Judah, the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. And then Perez, the father of Hebron. Hebron. Hebron's the father of Ram. Ram's the father of Aminadab. Aminadab is the father of Nashan. Nashan is the father of Salmon. Salmon's father of Boaz. Boaz the father of Obed. Obed's father of Jesse. Jesse's the father of David. So in other words, Tamar was more righteous, is more righteous than Judah. And the genealogy of Jesus come from Tamar. Okay? Tamar is a Gentile woman or Jewish woman? Is a Gentile. Okay? in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and there are three women mentioned in chapter 1, verse 3, Tamar. Second one, verse 5, Rahab. Rahab used to be a prostitute, a real one, okay? And then in verse 5, Ruth. Okay? All these three women are Gentile women and end up to be the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And I believe when Matthew write that down, Matthew wants the Jewish people not to look down upon the Gentile woman. These three women, Tamar, verse 3, verse 5a, Rahab, verse 5b, Ruth. These three Gentile women are godly women. Their lives change and become the children of God. And the Matthew mentioned their name so that the Jewish people should not look down upon the Gentile woman, nor should they look down upon Mary, the Virgin Mary, and giving birth to Jesus Christ, not through Joseph, but through the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now we finish chapter 38. Is there any other question in chapter 38? Donald, what did I say? As a matter of fact, we don't need chapter 38. We're supposed to finish chapter 37 and go directly to chapter 39 for the life of Joseph. Why would Moses insert the affair of Judah with his daughter-in-law in this chapter 38? What's the reason why he added that? Okay, very good. Now, Etta, could you read carefully Genesis chapter 39?
Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian, who was one of the Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate.
Now, I want you to go back to the dream that he has in Genesis chapter 37. Read the dream. Read verse 5 all the way to verse 11. So ever since Joseph had that dream, at what age he was? 17. Ever since he has that dream, that he's going to be a king and reign, so that his brother and his parents will bow down before him eventually. Ever since he has that dream, he suffered because of that dream. Because his brother hated him, he was rebuked by his father, and the Lord tested him in Genesis chapter 39 to see whether he truly believed in that dream. So in order to be able to reign over your brother, you need some training. So the Lord, first of all, put him under the households of Potiphar, want him to learn how to manage the affair of Potiphar's, look after his household. If you know how to look after his household, that Potiphar is a captain of the guard, is a Pharaoh official, okay? And later on, the Lord put him in Genesis chapter 40, put him to prison because of the righteous thing that he has done, not the wicked thing he has done. And the Lord allow it happen. And he then look after all the prison under the warden. Okay? In chapter 30, chapter 39, verse 23, the warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So, first of all, Joseph learned from Potiphar. And then Joseph learned from the warden. And eventually, when he becomes the second one on the throne, he can look after the entire kingdom of Egypt. So, what have we learned in here? I want you to write down right beside chapter 39. I want you to write down Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. Verse 7 all the way to verse 9. Elder, could you read that?
Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
So I want you to write down these three Bible verses right beside Genesis chapter 39. The Lord thoughts are not the thought of Joseph, nor the thought of Judah, nor the thought of the 12 tribes of Israel. God's way is higher than the way of human being. God allowed Joseph to be sold to Egypt and then allow him to work under the Potiphar and learn from that how to be a ruler within his household. And then God sent him to prison so that he learned how to look after the prison because the Lord is with Joseph and give him success in whatever he does. So, in the meantime, he suffered. For how long? Totally. He suffered for 13 years. So if you go to, let's say, you go to high school, you study for what? How long? 12 years, right? Total. From grade 1 to grade 12. And then 4-year university. So it's 16 years, right? When you graduate from university, you may not have the job as Joseph has, second on the throne. He suffered for 13 years. He learned from Pontifus. He learned from the warden. And then when he get out, he looked after the affair of the kingdom of Egypt. At that time, the kingdom of Egypt is just like the kingdom of USA, the greatest nation in those days, second on the throne. 13 years of suffering, and the Lord put him in charge of the entire kingdom. Okay? So when we suffer, when Joseph suffers, it's for a good reason. We don't question God. Why? Why you give me that dream and then end up sending me to be sold to the Midianite by my brother to the Midianite, and then Midianite sold Joseph to a Pharaoh official, Pontifer. And then Pontifer sent him to prison. Everything has a reason. We just to be patient and remain to be holy, because God's way and God's thought are higher than our way and our thought. Eventually, you'll be successful. Okay? Now, where are we? Verse 6? Okay, keep going.
Now Joseph was well built and handsome, and after a while his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, "Come to bed with me." But he refused. "With me in charge," he told her, "my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?" And though she spoke to Joseph day after day, he refused to go to bed with her or even be with her.
Joseph is very, very smart, right? Can anyone tell me how smart he is? Joshua, did you see? Very smart. Right? Tell me, in what words that you see that he's smart? Read that out.
"No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then can you put the wicked thing and sin against God?"
But he knows. So what did he know that a lot of people don't know? Okay, I want you to write it down. Psalm 94, verse 9, right beside verse 9. Psalm 94, verse 9. "Does he who implanted the ear not hear? Does he who formed the eyes not see? God is the one who planted our ear. God is the one who formed our eyes." So God see everything. God hear everything. And God knows everything. Joseph know that. The conversation that Pontifer's wife has with him, not only he knows, that woman knows, and also God knows. So that's why he did not want to sin against God. Did Pontifer knows about that? No. Because Pontifus trusts him so much that he didn't even care. Because he let him look after everything. Verse 6. Potiphar left in Joseph's care everything he has. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. He knew that if he sleep with his master's wife, Potiphar won't even know that. But he know who knows. God knows. God see that. God hear about that. And what's the second thing that you say that he's smart? Can anyone see? Esther, do you see? Verse 10, do you see that verse 10? And those she spoke to Joseph day after day. She didn't give up. Why? In verse 6, Joseph was well built and handsome. Right? And after a while, verse 7, his master wife took notice of Joseph and said to Joseph, come to bed with me. Day after day, she spoke to Joseph. But Joseph refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. Joseph wanted to make sure that he's not going to be alone with her. Otherwise, very easy to fall into sins. So what have we learned in here? Did Joseph give an excuse? I'm a young man. I'm well built. I'm handsome. Someone take notice of me. I didn't say that I want to sleep with her. She said that she wanted to sleep with me. Right? He did not yield to this kind of temptation day after day. And he passed the test. That is the reason why God gave him the dream once and twice. That God going to use him and pick him out of the 12 tribes of Israel. Can you see that? God picked the right people, right? Very, very smart. Joseph did not want to sin against God, nor Joseph want to sin against his master, Potiphar. Do you know, lady, the IMF chief? Did he sin against his own wife by committing adultery with the hotel maid? Right? And now he said he sins against his own citizen too. He can be he's supposed to be a prime minister, right? He can be a prime minister. Take over, you know, the present prime minister, right? Is a prime minister or president?
Prime minister.
Eh?
Prime minister.
So, and people ask him, are you going to be running for the presidency or prime minister? He said he cannot. He lost that. You know, if we do not build our character, you lost the career. Okay? Even though you study very well, but you'll be destroyed. You know what? If you do not study the Bible, and you are well built, and you are handsome, and you get a master wife to take notice of you, and approach you and say to you, come to bed with me, you think, wow, this is a golden opportunity. then you ruin your own future. Young people, make sure we do not commit adultery. Do not yield to this temptation. In verse 10, those who spoke to Joseph day after day, Joseph refused to go to bed with her or even be with her. The Lord is very pleased with Joseph. Okay? Now, verse 11.
When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. Look, she said to them, this Hebrew has been brought to us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed. When he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me.
Okay, I want to stop here first. Now, can anyone tell me what is the reason why Joseph left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house? Joshua, do you know why? Verse 12, she caught him by his cloak and said, come to bed with me. But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house. What did the Bible say in New Testament? As far as Satan is concerned, we resist Satan. We don't run. But as far as adulterous woman, you flee from it. If you don't run. He take your clothes and you'll be dead. So you have to flee from that temptation. But Satan, you have to resist. You understand? Don't even get close to it. If you get close to it, you'll be dead. It'll be too late. I heard a story that there's a church. There's an adulterous woman within the church. This adulterous woman have sexual relationship with every pastor that enter into that church. When he applied for the position, and people warn him, when you come to this church, if you're not strong in the Lord, you yield to the temptation of adulterers, you'll be fired. And he said, no, I'm a strong man. And the elder say to the candidate for their pastor, the elder say, this woman is very attractive. And every time when she has a relationship with the pastor, we fire the pastor. And he said he can resist that kind of temptation. In the first week that he became a pastor, the lady visited him and take off the clothes and they commit adultery. So what have you learned? Joseph did the right thing. He flee for these kind of sins. You understand? When you fall into this kind of temptation, you can't get out of it. you got to run away from it. Satan, you have to resist it. Right? Adulteress, you have to run away. Don't get close to it. You get close to it, you fall into the sin. You get trapped. I want to talk to the young people. Before you get married, keep your virginity to your husband. Because whatever you do, the Lord sees that. Okay? Sometimes you may not understand why your parents saying to you, do not go to a party or whatever after midnight, whatever. Before 10 o'clock, get home. That's the reason for that. Joseph ran away. That is the smartest move. You understand? Joshua, do you hear what I say? Yeah. Keep going. Verse 16.
She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home. Then she told him this story. That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. When his master heard the story, he told him, saying, this is how your slave treated me. He burned with anger. Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined.
So why was Joseph's master be able to take Joseph and put Joseph in prison? Because Pontifus is Pharaoh official, is the captain of the guard. Okay? So he can place him in king's prisoner, okay? The place where king's prisoner was confined. He can place him, put him in prison, okay? God allow it happen. Why? Because in king's prison, all king's prisoner was confined in that prison, then Joseph can interact with higher official. In due time, he will be released and used by God. This is golden opportunity. But of course, we don't know at that time. So, wow, because I want to live a holy life, I don't commit adultery, I end up being accused of something that I didn't even do, right? It's getting worse and worse. First of all, being sold by his brother to Midianite, and then from Midianite, sold him to Pontifus, and from Pontifus sent him to prison, right? He was righteous all along, and yet he suffered because of the dream that he has, right? God tested him. Okay, 19. Okay, we finished the second part of verse 20. But while Joseph was there in prison, verse 21.
The Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did.
Did you see that? The Lord was with Joseph wherever he is, in Pontifus' house. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he is prosperous, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. And when his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Get promotion. Pontifus put him in charge of his household, his entire household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. And now, the warden left Joseph in charge of the entire prison. Because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. God allowed it happen so that God could use him to be second in the throne in the kingdom of Egypt. Chapter 40. In the same prison where Joseph was confined. God allowed it happen so that Joseph can know them. Okay? That is networking. I want you to know something, okay? Especially in your final year, make sure you don't take the course that is easy. Make sure you take the course that you can learn something, can get a job. In the meantime, you can make friends with people. Okay? Networking is very, very important. Go verse 4.
The captain of the guard assigned them to Joseph, and he attended them. After they had been in custody for some time, each of the two men, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were being held in prison, had a dream the same night, and each dream had a meaning of its own.
Hey, Joseph had two dreams, right? And this two officials has a dream too, but he didn't know how to interpret the dream. Okay? Verse 6.
When Joseph came to them the next morning, he saw that they were dejected. So he asked Pharaoh's officials, who were in custody with him in his master's house, "Why are your faces so sad today?" "We both had dreams," they answered, "but there is no one to interpret them." Then Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dream."
I want you to underline this. Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belongs to God?" Interpretations of dream belongs to God. If God give this kind of wisdom to Joseph, then Joseph will gain favor in man's sight. Joseph gave honor to God. Verse 9.
So the chief cupbearer told Joseph his dream. He said to him, "In my dream I saw a vine in front of me, and on the vine were three branches. As soon as it budded, it blossomed, and its clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, squeezed them into Pharaoh's cup, and put the cup in his hand. This is what it means," Joseph said to him. "The three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your position, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand, just as you used to do when you were his cupbearer. But when all goes well with you, remember me and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison."
he interpreted the dream and said, "Wow. Now you restore your position, but don't forget me, right?" But you know what happened? The cupbearer forget him. Okay? Now, before we proceed, can anyone tell me why? Don't know why? He's too happy, he forget, right? Now, okay, read that again, verse 14. What did Joseph say to him? "Now that I interpret the dream to you, okay, when all goes well with you, everything, when it goes well with you, everything just like how I interpret the dream, remember me and show me kindness and mention me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this prison. Verse 15.
For I was forcibly carried off from the land of the Hebrews, and even here I have done nothing to deserve being put in a dungeon.
He was in a dungeon, okay. He didn't say he's in prison. That is in a dungeon. It's getting worse and worse, okay? The more holy life he lived, the worse it is in human sight. But the Lord's provision is the best, okay? Because his way and his thought is higher than our way and our thought. Okay, keep going.
When the chief baker saw that Joseph had given him a favorable interpretation, he said to Joseph, I too had a dream. On my head were three baskets of bread. In the top basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating them out of the basket on my head. This is what it means, Joseph said. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat away your flesh. Now the third day was Pharaoh's birthday, and he gave a feast for all his officials. He lifted up the heads of the chief cupbearer and the chief baker in the presence of his officials. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, so that he once again put the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, just as Joseph had said to them in his interpretation.
So in other words, Joseph's interpretation that belongs to God, what happened to these two officials is exactly how God revealed to them through Joseph. Okay? Verse 23. He forgot him, okay? Kyle, do you know why he forgot him?
Too happy?
Anyone give me a better answer, Gene? What happened if you're the cupbearer? If Joseph gives you the favorable interpretation, exactly what happened to you, and you see the baker was hanged, right? Exactly what Joseph interpreted, right? Your position was restored, another person being executed. You're too happy? You forget what you see? What's the reason? Anybody knows? Wesley, do you know? You're a wise man? Forgot. I tell you why. The timing for Joseph to come out of prison is not due yet. Because Pharaoh, he's going to have a dream. When Pharaoh have a dream and he cannot interpret his dream, the cupbearer will remember, that's one Pharaoh in prison. He can interpret your dream. And by that time, Joseph will be released. When he was released, he will be second in the throne. When you see something happen in your life that's not fair, don't murmur, don't grumble, don't complain. Wait patiently for the Lord's deliverance. Because his timing is the best. So next week, we're going to talk about Pharaoh's dream. All right? Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that whatever happened in our lives, help us not to complain, because you are in control. You reign over the flood. Whatever happened in our life, you have never lost your control. Everything happened in our life, you see them all. Because you form our eyes. You implanted our ear. You hear everything. Even our complaint. And help us to turn our complaint to prayer. And pray to you and ask you to be merciful and be gracious to us. And help us to remain strong in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because whatever the dream that you have given it to to Joseph, it will be fulfilled. And help us to learn from this story that whatever you have done in the life of Joseph, because he chose to live a godly life, not following the pattern of this world, and follow the very footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ, and want to live a righteous life, run away from adulterers, and that's why you use him. And help us to overcome all kind of temptation through your power and through your word. And I pray that as we going down and down, just like what Joseph has said, to the dungeon, and help us to remain faithful to your dream that you have given to him. We know that in the future we're going to reign with you, and help us to live a godly life too. And I pray that you help us to remember the life of Joseph, how he overcome, because he did not want to sins against God, nor did he want to sins against his master. And every time whether he served in his own household, he served faithfully. He served faithfully in the household of Pontifus. He also served faithfully in the prison. He gained favor from warden too. And I pray that you help us not only gain favor from our Lord God Almighty, and help us to be faithful in our earthly job. As we are students now, help our children to be faithful in studying, and so that they can not only gain favor from you and also gain favor from earthly master, so that we can witness among them to bring them to the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus. I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen.